Hi there, my name's Lance Matthews. This is something that I've been thinking about doing for a while, doing my own podcast, basically. This is going to be one of those, I don't know how often I'll do it. It's mostly going to be geared toward guys, towards men, for the most part. If I get something, whether it be a question or a comment or whatever, or if I have something that's more directed to like younger guys, like teens or whatever, or if it's something that's directed more towards women, whatever it might be, that's kind of what it's going to be on. But for the most part, I'm going to be talking towards men. So this very first one, it's a little weird for me because I'm not used to sitting down, talking into a microphone and stuff like that. I actually, if any of you who are out there who are sound junkies, I actually have a slight delay, so that it's kind of like I hear an echo as I talk to you all. So it's a little bit different for me, and if I get off track, I'm sorry, I really am. But this first podcast that I'm going to do, and basically what most of these are going to be for, is it's a way for me to get the gospel out into the world. I don't know why. It's either going to be writing, or it's going to be something more along the lines of what I'm doing right now. So this first podcast, this whole series, or this whole podcast channel title or whatever, it's going to be something along the lines of fighting the good fight, or the good fight, or whatever. I haven't exactly worked on the name just yet, but That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. So anyway, this first one that I'm going to do is more of just, I'm kind of sharing with you all to let you know who it is exactly that I am, where it is that I've came from, what it is that I've gone through. So, you can actually, not that you can't feel like you can relate to someone else who just, you know, talks to you guys, but so that you can feel like you're, talking to someone who's more on your level, or someone that you can relate to more. I'm not a pastor or anything like that. So anyway, let's go ahead and jump in. This first one is actually going to be based on my testimony. So to start things off, like I'm one of those guys, I've been raised in church basically my whole entire life. My family is a church family. My family is a Christian family. I've gone to Church of God churches pretty much for forever, or since I've, you know, been on this earth, and gone to several different ones. I've go to one now that I've been at since the first grade, I think it is, and I'm now in my early 20s. So I've been going there for a really long time. But anyway, like I was saying, I've been raised in church my whole life. I've gone to most of the church events. I've gone to most of the church camps and stuff like that. When I got saved, I was actually probably about 5 or 6 years old. And there might be some people out here that say, no, that's too young for someone to, you know, to get saved and to fully understand what it is that you're doing. But I do think that I understood exactly what it is that I was doing at that time. I remember I was laying in bed one night, and I can't remember why it was that I was praying. But I was laying in bed praying, and I guess, I don't know if I woke up from being scared, or if I just woke up, or if I was just thinking, or whatever it was. But I started praying, and as I was praying, I asked God to come into my heart, and then I started crying and stuff, and I wasn't sure if it was fear or if it was joy. But eventually my mom came into my room, and she sat down and she talked with me for a little bit. And from pretty much that point on, like, I had given my heart to God. Now, as far as, like, did I fully start, like, understanding exactly what it is that required of me, other than the, you know, you shouldn't do these things, you should do these things. Not entirely, but that's kind of where you learn to grow. Lived down around where it was that I first got saved. When I moved up to where I live now, I started going to my current church, it was, you know, I'd go to the church camps and stuff like that, and it's kind of funny, and if anyone else has ever gone to Winterfest is almost the exact same way, to where it's almost like you go to these church camps, and you go and you have a great time. Like, you do all these awesome games, you have fun, you meet new people. Some of us would try to pull pranks on each other. Some people were more successful than others, but like the whole time you're there, and some people I think realize this and other people don't, is that the whole time you're there, like, you are basically immersed and surrounded in God. Like, you have a chance to kind of, you're on your own, but you're not really. So you're kind of like out in the woods, in these cabins with all these other guys, you're playing all these games. You're doing all this crazy stuff, and then you have these awesome services at night. And what was kind of weird for me is, like, every time I would go, I would always feel like I was giving my heart to God for the first time. And then I would get to a point where I wasn't even sure, like, when I got saved or anything like that. But for me personally, I do believe that it was when I was, when we used to live down in South Carolina, I do believe it was down there when I was about 5-6 years old, somewhere around there. But anyway, I would go to these camps, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt this way, that, like, I would go and I would be fired up after I would come back for like 3 weeks or a month or a couple months or whatever. And then, you know, the life starts to set back in, and you kind of get in your old routine and everything like that. So it was almost like, for me, it was one of those things that, it was cool when it was going on, but it was never one of those things that just stuck with me, or one of those things that, like, lasted in my life. It never really made itself manifest, or I never allowed it to make itself manifest, would probably be a better way of saying it. Went to church camp, and Winterfest for me a lot of times was the same way. And I know just about everyone in my youth group kind of had that experience. Like, there would be a few people that would really get it, and they'd be really fired up, and it would take them longer for, like, life to kind of settle in and start bogging them down, and them getting away from all that. But to be truthfully honest, like, for a long time for me, especially when I was at the school that I used to go to, the Christian school that I went to for pretty much the whole time up until my junior year of high school, because it closed before my senior year, I kind of fell into that routine to where I would go to Winterfest, or I would go to youth camp, or whatever it was, and I would come back fired up, be like that for a few weeks, few months, or whatever. And then as I would come back to school, everything would just kind of start to resettle in, and then all that stuff would start to go away. And after I graduated from high school, or not after I graduated from high school, after my school closed down after my junior year and I went to a public school for the very first time, I actually started to realize how important it was for you to build a relationship with Christ. And it was kind of funny, because before I had gone to any public school, like, I don't even think I really stepped in a public school except for maybe a couple, like, sporting events or something like that. But I had always heard horror stories, with a lack of a better term, about public schools. Like, I had never really heard anything anything good that kind of came out of a public school or anything like that. And what's kind of sad is the fact that most of those things that I heard that from were from the church that I went to, from kids who actually did go to public schools. So I won't lie when I say this. My senior year of high school, when I went to a public school for the very first time, I was a little bit freaked out. But I think that is actually what helped me a little bit, because then I kind of, it helped me to understand what the real world is really like, because I had never really been involved with any other kind of people other than those I'd went to school with. And the ones that I went to school with, I won't say all of them, because I'm sure there were probably a select few that probably didn't go to church, but for the most part, they all went to church of some kind, whether it be Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Lutheran, or whatever. It was a sad experience, because I wanted to graduate from where I had gone to since the first grade. That, and what was also awesome is that the senior year trip was a mission trip, and I can't remember where they were going to at that time, but they had gone to the Philippines and the Dominican Republic and Guatemala, and I think that's actually where they were going to go for that year. But anyway, so went to high school, graduated from high school, started going to college, went to a little community college. First couple years I was there, I won't lie, I did not want to be at school whatsoever. And the first couple years I was there, I was just kind of like, whatever. I didn't really do all that great in school. I won't lie to you, I've also had my fair share of times that I actually skipped classes. And but like the first like 2 years, I really had no interest in being up at school whatsoever. And it was hard, because I didn't want to go to school. I just wanted to work like a year and kind of get some money to take care of a few things. And I was pretty much not allowed to do that. Like, my parents told me that I had to go to school of some kind, or else I would never go. Which is probably true. Knowing me, that's probably very true. But, so I went, and then I graduated from college. I got a music degree, and, right now, all I'm doing is just kind of working. But the part that my testimony starts to really kick in is, it actually kicked in, around middle school, when I was in either the seventh or eighth grade. We were working on a history project for one of my classes, and I think it was about the presidents or something like that. And when we went to go do it, we had some time at school this one particular day that we could actually go and do part of our project for. And this one particular day, we were working on it, or me and a friend of mine, one of the other kids that was in my group, was working on it. And I go to type in, I'm sure some of you know about it. There used to be a site there, there used to be actually two sites. One of them was whitehouse.gov, which is the actual website for the White House. And at that time, there was also another site called whitehouse.com. And I'm almost positive that I've checked and that it has been taken down, so don't try to go and find it. But it was actually a pornography site. And I'm hoping, and I'm going to tell you right now, that this podcast isn't a means for you to go and find certain things from what I've found. But this particular site that I went to at that time was a pornography site. And it was actually the first time that I had really looked at anything pornographic or anything like that. So my friend, I go to type in whitehouse.com. I didn't know at that point. And he stopped me real quick and told me, you don't want to go there because that's a bad site. He told me what it actually was instead. And unfortunately, I was a little bit curious. And I'm sorry if this distorts on you at all. I'm still kind of learning on how to do this. But later that day, I went home, and I was the first one home. My mom and my sister were still over at the school, because my mom worked at the school at that time. She was a teacher. And my dad didn't get home till later. So I decided that I was going to check out and see what it was that he exactly was talking about, what my friend was talking about. So I go and I check it out, and that was the first time I'd ever looked at anything like that. And even though I went and I did it intentionally, I will say that I was freaked out, to be honest with you. I don't know. The best way I can describe it is it was like one of those things where it was like I knew that there was a part of me that wanted to see it, but at the same time, it kind of scared me a little bit. And I'm not sure exactly what the reason why it scared me or anything, but the only thing I can figure is that that I think I was more worried about what it was that my parents were going to do when they found out. So I actually ended up telling my parents afterwards, later that night. I told them, I had to talk to them for a minute, and I told them what I did, and they were upset, but they were also glad for the fact that I told them what was going on. Sorry about that. So I told them that night, and really after a while, like for a while, it didn't really have any effect on me, or at least I didn't think so. And then later on, I started to, probably more towards my high school or my high school years, I guess is what I should say, is that it kind of became one of those things that I got into more. And it was kind of weird, and I don't know if other people are like this or more were just like, you know, I got to have it now. I'm going to look at it and I'm kind of going to do whatever I want. But I would actually go through moments to where there would be times I wouldn't look at it so much, and then there would be times that I would. And, you know, what really sucked about it the most is it was right around when I started getting into it more, it was right around the same time that, you know, guys start going through their own changes. You know, guys start going through puberty. They start kind of learning about themselves, and they start learning about certain things. And I'm just going to say this right now, and I probably should have said this before, that especially when I talk about pornography, I'm going to try to be as straightforward as possible. Like, there might be a few things that I don't talk about, I don't reference, or I won't say. But I found out, more so for me, that it's been one of those things that if I am just straight up and if I am honest about it and just kind of, you know, just talk about it openly without feeling ashamed about it, it helps me deal with it a little bit better. Not in the fact that, you know, I can look at it easier or anything like that, because that's actually the opposite of what I'm doing and the opposite of what I'm trying to tell you to do. But it just helps me deal with the whole like view of sexuality, of like what God has, what God's idea of sexuality actually is. So it was like right around that same time where, you know, guys' bodies are going through changes. I don't know how many guys out there, deal with taking care of things down there. I'll try to be a little censored, I guess, with this, but how you deal with things down there. I don't know if some guys do it frequently, if you do it periodically, if you don't do it at all, or if you do it all the time. But anyway, for me, it was one of those things where like there would be times that I would look at it and that would kind of coincide with it later on down the road, or that would coincide with it just later after I got done looking at or reading or seeing or whatever it was that I would end up doing. So anyway, like all throughout high school, it would kind of bounce back and forth. Like there would be times I would look at it, there would be times I wouldn't. I could go like 2-3 months, maybe even longer than that, without really having to worry about it. And it was not really a good thing, because at that time, I was also trying to help be one of the leaders for the youth worship team on Wednesday nights. And I was also one of the members of the Sunday morning praise and worship band. And I'm looking at porn. And that's not good. And I would keep telling myself, you know, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to look at it. And I would be good for a while. And then a few months down the road or a few weeks down the road or whatever, I would go back and look at it again. And then I would come in on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night. And it was kind of weird because I can't tell you how many times I would be standing. There was actually one time I was standing up on stage and I came so close to grabbing my guitar, taking it off and smashing it on the stage, not because I was like filled with the spirit or I was like so into service or so into the music or whatever, but because I knew, part of that reason was because it was a pride thing. And at the same time, it was also dealing with this issue with pornography. I mean, I'm up on stage trying to lead people in praise and worship, and yet I'm looking at porn. So it was a back and forth kind of thing. And the first time, or one of the first times I actually told someone about it, we used to have a choir at our church, and it's actually starting to kind of get built back up now. But at that time when I was in the choir, we would actually go and do sectionals, and each section periodically would have to like get together and they would have to go just spend some time with each other. Whether they would go and get food or not was totally up to them, but it was more of just like a time of fellowship that they were encouraged to spend with each other so they could grow closer as a group. I'm at home right now doing this podcast and the phone decides to go off. So anyway, I didn't even think about that, but, the first time I think I told anyone really about my issue was at that sectional. And what it was is, I don't know, like I needed to come clean, and I knew I needed to come clean, and that helped for a while. I mean, I think it helped for about, I don't know, I'll say about 6-7 months or so, and I would be good. And people in that group, they would come up and they would ask me how I was doing and stuff like that. And I eventually started falling back into it again. And then I found out my youth pastor at the time had actually dealt with the same thing. And so when it kind of started to make itself manifest in my life again, I went and I finally talked to him. I was like, dude, I need you to help me. I need you to pray with me. I need you to, I don't know what it is that I need to do, but I got to get this stuff out of my life. And he helped me get through it. And I think I stayed away from it for, well, probably about the same amount of time. Like, I think I was good for about 6-8 months, somewhere around there. And then it just started again, and I would be like, I would look at it and I wouldn't look at it, and I would look at it and I wouldn't look at it. I would constantly be bouncing back and forth. And I know some of you, there might be a few people who are a little bit skeptical, whoever it is. And I'm sorry, my computer is doing something kind of weird. I don't know what it is, but there might be a few of you out there who might be kind of skeptical as far as like who I am. And if I'm being for real about this, maybe this will help you a little bit. When I say I looked at pornography, I can guarantee you that I looked about just about anything and everything. At least once. There were a few things that really weirded me out, so I stayed away from it for the most part, but, I've seen just about anything you can think of. So anyway, like I was saying before, I was kind of on and off with the whole pornography thing. A girl I was dating at the time, I tried to, tell her about that in hopes that maybe she could help me, deal with that a little bit or pray, you know, help me in whatever way it was that was necessary. And, I kind of shared it with her and I kind of didn't. Like, I did it in a roundabout way at the time. I told her I had issues with lust. So she didn't fully, grasp, I guess, the whole concept as far as what exactly it was that I was dealing with. And so, you know, time went on, and like I said, kind of on and off again. I told my youth pastor, or my former youth pastor now, exactly what it was that was going on. He would come up, ask me how I was doing, making sure I was doing all right and stuff like that. I started dating someone else, and there, for some reason, there was one day she was dealing with something, and I told her, like, you know, there's stuff that's going to happen in your life. And I shared with her the same thing that I had gone through, or I had shared with her the things that I had gone through with dealing with porn and stuff like that. And I told her I didn't look at it anymore. And when I was with her, I didn't. And then afterwards, it was kind of, I realized it more so later on down the road that I got to points where I would feel lonely. I would feel, I don't know, like I just felt like that there was this big giant hole inside of my life that I needed to fill with something, and I didn't really feel like I was getting that from God. Like, I'm just going to be honest, I didn't. And like, I would really do anything that I could to try to fill that hole in some way. Like, I would sometimes go to dating sites, and I would try to find people on there that I could just talk to. You know, I would sometimes go on Craigslist and just not always... When I say this, it wasn't always done in innocence, at least the part with Craigslist, but like I would just try to find someone that I could either talk to just about whatever, just kind of shoot the breeze or whatever you want to call it. And then I will also admit that there were a few times that it wasn't just as innocent as just getting on there and talking. It wasn't. And, but... Like, I would go on dating sites. I would try to find, like, adult-type dating sites or whatever to look at pictures or to find someone that I could talk to. And it never really worked out. So, like, there was definitely, like, this void inside. And it was one of those things that I knew that the only person that could fill that void would be God. But at the same time, I didn't want to fill it up with God. And I think part of that for me was as I wasn't truly seeking after him, or I wasn't truly going for him in order for him to fill up that spot in my life. So anyway, so time went on. Me and one of my exes, we broke up. I kind of got back into that habit of looking at porn and not looking at it and going back and forth again. And I had been good for a while. And then, I met someone else, my girlfriend who I'm actually with right now. And, like I hadn't looked at it in forever. And then there was one day, actually back in about June or July, or maybe it was a couple days, but back in June or July, I actually sort of had a relapse. And I started looking at it again and started trying to find pictures and trying to find stories that I could read and watching videos again. And I remember the very last day, but before that, for some crazy reason, like I'm just going to kind of take a sidetrack off right here. I'm just going to be honest with you guys, and women for that matter who might be listening to this, is that pornography really screws up your mind. It does. There's no doubt about the fact that pornography is really going to screw up the way you think, and it's true. For guys, as far as like how they view women, it really messes things up, because you start to look at women as objects and you start objectifying them and you start looking at them in a way of what could I get from her, on a physical standpoint, what could you get from her? And as far as like how it affects, guys, it can affect guys in a way of, well, you know, you start looking at all this garbage and then you I don't think I would have ever thought that I would have, one, thought this, or that any other guys would really think this. But I mean, if you really sit down and think about it, it'll make sense. And even though it sounds kind of stupid and kind of weird, like, it even causes guys to view their bodies differently. And in one way that it does that, it makes you think that all guys ought to be like a certain way down there. You all ought to be so big or bigger or whatever it is that you think you ought to be in order to impress a woman. And I'm just going to be honest, if a woman is truly in love with you, or if a woman truly loves you guys, it's not all going to be about that for her. It's going to be about so much more, where maybe that is a small issue. I kind of doubt it. But if she truly loves you for the person that you are, you guys will work that out in some way. When you're married, you will work that out in some way. And it's not going to be an issue for you. But it really messes up with how you look at yourselves. And that, at that point, I was kind of messed up with how I was looking at myself. And I know that I'm not the only guy when I say this, that I was trying to find ways to enhance myself in some ways. Okay? You get what I'm saying? I know for a fact that I'm not the only one that was trying to figure out how to do that. Or else there wouldn't be all this stuff, whether it be pills or exercises or stretches or whatever it might be. There wouldn't be all this stuff on the internet for guys to do that for themselves. But anyway, getting back to where I was before I kind of took this rabbit trail, I started looking at it again towards the end, or I started looking at it again, and when I was while I'm with this girl, and it was weird because this one particular night, I remember I was sitting there, and I didn't want to look at it, and I did, and I was angry, and I was sad, and I felt sick to my stomach. In all honesty, and the last couple videos that I found, there's two in particular that really affected me. And one, and I, like I said before, this isn't me trying to give you information as far as where you can go online. Do not look at these. And maybe I'm sharing too much info when I say that. And I know how some people are when you say do not touch something or do not look at something, you go and you want to look at it anyway. Because I know that's how I am. But there was this one video in particular, and I can't remember the girl's name, but it was such and such gets her cherry popped. And like I said before, I'm just going to be honest about this. It didn't really show anything other than from basically like her collarbone, or from the top of her chest and her head. That's all it showed. And obviously you could tell exactly what was going on, but as I think about it now, I think, how in the world, or why in the world, would any true man in their right mind sit there and take a video of either this guy's girlfriend, which I'm hoping it's not, but this guy's girlfriend or this guy's wife having sex for the first time, or being with a man for the very first time, and then post it online? I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, sex is one of those things that God has given us. It's supposed to be one of those things that's shared between a man and a woman. And the very first time that a woman has sex with a man, he's going to take a video of it and post it online? Really? I mean, it just didn't affect me so much at the time. Like, as I think about it more so now, it still does make me sad. Yes, it does. Because I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why would you do something like that? It just seems crazy to me. But anyway, and then the second to last video I watched, it was called Beautiful or Pretty, or not Beautiful or Pretty, but, it was like not pretty or not beautiful, but good to, yeah. So I think you, when I say, yeah, you kind of know exactly what it is that I'm insinuating that they said. And this one was more that I felt, that I felt more heartbroken over, because I sat there and I watched it for a few seconds or a few minutes or whatever. And as I sat there and as I was listening and as I was watching, I was kind of heartbroken. Like, I was still wanting to look at it. I was still angry. I still felt like puking. Like, I still felt sick to my stomach that I was looking at it, because I was, because part of it knew, part of me knew that I knew what was going to, what I was going to have to do after this. So anyway, so I'm watching this video and I couldn't help but think, like, for starters, why is it that the guy or whoever it was that posted this video, why is it that they think that it's okay to post it with the title that it was given? It was extremely degrading to her. And to be quite honest, I don't really think that she was that ugly. Like, I actually think she was kind of pretty. But the point I'm trying to make is not so much that, but it just goes to show how we in this world today have gotten to a point where it's not about the person inside, but it's about the person on the outside. You know, it's gotten more to be a physical thing than it has actually getting to know someone. You know, we get so focused on what it is that we want or what it is that we can get from a person physically that it's almost like we don't even care about who that person really is. And not everyone's like that, I know that, but like, I couldn't believe it, and it hurt. And I was sad for her. And what killed me even more is, as I was watching it, the guy really wasn't that great looking either. I mean, the guy wasn't really that great looking at all. I mean, he had a gut and everything. And I was just like, you're seriously, you have the audacity to seriously post this video, or both of you have the audacity to post this video, and you're looking like that. Like, you're talking about her and you're looking like that kind of thing. And at the same time, like, over time, as I've thought about it more, I've wondered, like, I know clearly there's going to be stuff that you find that you know for a fact is made for that reason, and that whoever it is that's involved knows that it's made for that reason. But how many, I almost wonder how many women, especially when it's more of like the home movie kind of thing, actually know. One, I wonder if they actually know that they're being filmed, which I'm sure most times that they are. But how many of them know where this stuff gets sent to? Like, how many of them know that their video that they made that they thought was going to be a private thing with whoever it was that they did it with isn't so private? Like, it's on the internet. It's everywhere now. Anyone can look at it. Anyone who stumbles across it can look at it. And it's not a sacred thing anymore. And to think about that, and my thought about that is just, it's heartbreaking. They lose trust in someone that they thought they could trust very much in, and now it's not like that so much. And so after that, that was when the process for me to start healing began. I was actually a youth leader instead of leading now. I am a guy in my early 20s. I was at the time helping, I was one of the youth leaders at my church, as well as still helping out with the worship team for both Sundays and in with the youth. And I knew at that point that I had to talk to our new youth pastor, and I knew what it was going to involve. Even if they didn't ask me to do so, I knew that it was going to mean that I had to step down from a few things. And it does. And I'm okay with that because I knew that that was going to happen. I knew I was going to have to do that anyway. Because even beforehand, when I was still doing all that stuff, I knew that I should have. But I was at a point then that I knew that at this moment I can get away with it and I'm not going to worry about it. And I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. And obviously it is. But it's been hard and it's been better. It's been a lot better. And I'm still with, she even knows, like, all except for a few certain things that, guys have a tendency to do more as far as taking care of themselves, if you know what I mean. She knows just about everything it is. Like, I haven't necessarily told her every single thing that I've looked at. She knows that I've struggled with porn. And I've been able to tell her everything, which has helped me a lot. Because I know that I can trust her with this stuff. I know that it's not... I know I can communicate these things with her, which is awesome. And she's awesome. So... But she knows everything, which has helped a lot. And like, I've been doing stuff to get help. And honestly, one of the biggest things that I can tell anyone who struggles with this right now is if you do struggle with this and you're trying to get over it, one of the things that was actually recommended to me that I'm actually going to recommend to someone else is I would recommend getting a journal of some kind. And then when you have issues like this, just start writing, just to help you get it out of your system, to help you get focused on other things, and to help you not get stuck in this rut or in this constant, like, going back and forth between looking at it and not looking at it and whatever. And that's pretty much all I've got, at least for today. This is, like I said, this is one of those things that I feel like I've needed to share for a while. And I feel like only a few people really need to know, need to hear this. Like, I don't know, like, the people who really know who I am are going to be the ones who need to know. And, so anyway, if you have any questions for me, if you have any comments or anything like that, go ahead and leave it down in the box below, in the comment boxes or whatever. And I don't know, like I said before, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this. I'll see if I can answer questions. I don't know. We'll see how things go. This is Lance Matthews. I hope you have a good day. Tune in next time. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I might actually have more of a message for you. And you know what? Since it is this time of year, I will also say Merry Christmas. I love you guys. God bless you all. And if this is the only time you hear from me, this is Lance Matthews, and I will talk to you again some other time. Bye.